Greetings and welcome to the 22nd installment of our podcast series, The Workforce Lens, brought to you by Tarrant County College in North Texas. I am Jaquetta Dantzler, Director of Business Development for Corporate Solutions and Economic Development, and I will be your host, moderating strategic conversations with employers and economic developers on all things related to preparing and growing the workforce today and in the future. Today, my guest is James Sellers, founder and CEO of Cellmark Corporation. Cellmark is dedicated to making brands that sell and has accomplished this by successfully integrating its cell marketing strategy to launch outdoor brands that have products in specific categories. Welcome, James, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is a great honor to be here and just enjoying coming to the campus. I'm a little jealous of all the students here, and I think I might have to go back to school now.
Welcome you here. So glad to have you. Can you give us a little bit of background of how you launched Cellmark?
Sure. I know I'd like to kind of segue in a comment. We were talking with some, I was actually an advisory board for a university, and we were talking about student outcomes and really what drives that. And I think one of the things that's interesting is that my particular background, I never was a great student. I was one of the children that struggled in school. I had learning disabilities before learning disabilities were cool. And, you know, going through school is frustrating. They didn't really know how to approach that. But the thing that I think that made a very big difference is that I always was curious. I always was interested in learning any, you know, about all different types of subjects. And I think even though I wasn't, when I was younger, academically accomplished, I was pushed to be curious and to develop those interests and to learn and really love learning. So I think I fell in love with learning before I was a good learner. And I kind of think for me, that background ended up creating the stage, the success. And I got to give kudos to my teachers and to my parents who, in spite of the fact that I was probably difficult, the fact that I wasn't doing well with my homework and my assignments, but they kept encouraging me, and I think that is so important. So I would say that I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for quality educators and my parents who kept instilling that curiosity, encouraging me to keep learning and keep pushing in spite of difficulties. And I think, you know, I think looking back, I think it's that not quitting because it's hard, not giving up because it's not easy, not quitting because you're not good at something, but keep going and searching for those things that give you satisfaction and being curious about the world and really grabbing that with both hands. So I would probably tell you that the reason Cellmark is this is really that curiosity, and it kind of propelled me into look at the world a little differently. And then with Cellmark, it was kind of a necessity, you know, trying to figure out where the need was. I was looking for where the biggest opportunity and what wasn't being done by other people, and went for it. So Cellmark really was launched from that curiosity. I can give a more specific traditional answer, but the truth is I think for a lot of folks that that can relate to that, that things didn't come easy to you, you had to work hard, just keep curious, keep learning, and look for the opportunity, look for the market opportunity and fill it. And that's really Cellmark came from. So the academic traditional response to where Cellmark came from, I really saw there's a great need for a disconnect between sales and marketing in companies where sales were engaging the market in person, every day, on the road, you know, wearing out the soles of their shoes and bringing that message. But then marketing would be back at the office, and they weren't engaging with that market. And they didn't know really what the customers were needing and what messages were resonating. Sales had some of that, but they also weren't professional communicators. And I think there's so much opportunity to bring sales and marketing together. So I launched Cellmark in 2000 to really bridge that gap, where we offered a full service marketing with sales consulting so that we get the message right, we figure out the target audience, and we deliver that message, and then sales brings the business, and then you repeat. For people that were in DFW in the 2000s and in the early 2000s, it ended up being a very difficult time. We had the telecom.com was flying high in the late 90s. By 2000 and early 2000, it crashed. And then we had 9/11 happen. And then all of the air went out of the economy. So at that point, I decided to put our money where our mouth was and said, you know what, let's take these concepts about you know, using sales and marketing together and looking for opportunities in the market, identify those needs and bring products. So we started importing products shortly thereafter, and we've never looked back.
Wow, that's incredible.
So, yeah.
I love that. So I don't want to steal your thunder, but one thing I do know is that you did start in your garage.
I did.
So tell us about that. Tell us about where you, how you started there and where you are now.
That's correct. So, you know, when you start a business, you got to keep your overhead low.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have the corner office in the high rise with the great view. So the cheapest place to start a business is in your home. And then we use our garage as a warehouse. And in those early days, we're very lean. But we made a lot of mistakes, but we learned and we survived them and we're able to reinvest. You know, I think the problem with the good thing about operating out of your garage at your home is that everything's right there. You have a very short commute. The bad thing is you never stop and work becomes a part of your life. And I think there's a later question I think I saw here, but not to, to jump ahead, but I really think that the idea that you can be an entrepreneur and have life-work balance is kind of a difficult, I think by phrasing it that way, you'll never achieve it. You'll always be miserable and feel like you're fighting the job. I think you have to embrace the integration of your life and work and enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, don't do it. Because an entrepreneur, to be the one ultimately responsible for success and failure of business, you have to be prepared to do anything at any time. There is no time you're not on. So you better love it because it is part of your life and you can't escape that.
No, that's great. I love that. I love what you said at the beginning about, you know, just being curious and staying curious. And I think that it ties into what you just said as well, as staying in love with whatever you're doing as an entrepreneur, because you do have to go with the ebbs and flows and it's going to change. It's not always going to be the same. But if you are always really curious about finding the solution and you're staying attracted to whatever problem you're solving, it always stays new. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I think that one of the things we get from great teaching and great access to knowledge is it's a great pool to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
One of the weird things about me is I'm actually a history political science major. So I did graduate from college. And if I had one more semester and I was at one university the whole time, I did transfer a few times. So again, if you're listening to this and you've transferred or you delayed your education, don't give up. I mean, it's a part of the process. But if I was in one university the whole time, I would have had five majors. So in addition to history and political science, I'd had philosophy, economics, and religion as majors to round out my great knowledge base. But you know, you couldn't ask for a deeper pool to pull from than those subjects. And it's interesting. It's allowed me to relate to people from all different walks of life, different cultures. You know, I understand historical perspectives. I understand I understand the power of history and the importance of law and, you know, religion. All those things come into play. It makes us who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that If it wasn't for that, I think there's been a lot of times and experiences in my life that I wouldn't have been capable to handle.
Mm-hmm.
So again, kudos to all those professors that put up all of my questions all those years.
I love it. I love the way it all ties together. And speaking of tying together, so I've always thought that Cellmark was from your name. But now that I'm learning how the company originally started with the marriage of sales and marketing, I think I'm learning that that's where Cellmark came from. Is it a combination of both, or?
See, I'm getting caught in another story. So you're right, though. I wanted to really bring a new way of doing marketing, and I wanted it to be an integration of those two things. I didn't think you could do well mm-hmm. with one without the other. You need both.
I agree.
But I had all these great names, and I would type them in the computer, and then I would look at the Secretary of State's office to register those names, and every great name I had was already taken. For fun, I typed Cellmark in, and Cellmark came available in the Secretary of State. What's funny about that, though, is my dad was in a financial consulting business, and he used the name Cellmark. So he was using it as DBA. And anyway, I went ahead and registered the name with the Secretary of State, and I went to visit my dad, and I said, Dad, I hope it's okay, but I just registered Cellmark, so I'm going to have to ask you to stop using that name. And he said, you know, I tried to get that name for years, never could. And I said, I've been looking to retire, so I think this is the reason I'll retire. So I helped push my dad into retirement by taking technically his name, which probably was named for his, you know, Sellers or last name, I picked it because sales and marketing is what I was trying to deliver. So it's kind of funny.
I love that it does both, though.
It does. Yeah. It works so well. Most people think my first name's Mark, by the way, which is also funny. But
and I'm sure your dad happily passed the baton of the name, because it's like the name gets to live on and through his son. So
I hope
it's a great legacy story.
I mean, my dad's been one of those rocks that, again, he's an amazing inspiration to me. All the hours. One other side of the backstory is, you know, I grew up in Michigan.
And me too.
You did? Where are you from?
I'm from a village called Bridgeport, but it's in Saginaw, Michigan.
The Saginaw. Okay.
So, you know Saginaw?
Yes. I was born in Kalamazoo, and we used to go up to, it was east of Muskegon, a place called Branch, Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know where that is, but anyway, yeah. So I used to go
I
through
know,
your neck
I liked
of the woods.
You.
Yeah. Western Michigan.
Yeah. There we go.
All right. But you know the thing, my dad was an advertising guy. So he had stories about when he used to work in brand management, product development for Post Cereal in New York back in the 60s when they were doing their big things and national brands and campaigns. So we would go on walks and we would talk about business and philosophy, religion, and everything else. And I spent a lot of my childhood with him, the younger years, walking in the woods and discovering things. He was a photographer, which is probably why I was asking about the photography here. He would go out in the woods and shoot things with a camera. And we learned about butterflies and flowers and all the animals and critters of the forest and how everything worked together and how nature is just always finding a balance and everything has a place in nature. And you think about marketing, it's the same thing. If you have an area that's overcrowded, well, you're going to have something's got to give, right? You can't exceed the resources and opportunities that you need to shift. So I think marketing actually is kind of a system that nature does inherently, which is always seeks the balance, always seeks where the great opportunity is, the unexploited niche that's out there. So marketing essentially is bringing those products to find those holes in the marketplace that your competitors can't adapt to. And that's really what it comes down to. So in some ways, growing up in Michigan in those woods kind of taught me more about marketing. Since I didn't study business in our graduate, definitely needed that. So anyway, it does all come full circle.
I love that. Cellmark is a company that does offer a wide range of products. And I've had the pleasure of being at your office and seeing the different brands that you guys carry. And I'm just curious, with the different brands, how do you ensure that you stay competitive? And how do you choose which brands that you manufacture? If you could talk to us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And I could tell another story. So
I love stories.
Since I did not have a business degree and I wanted to do business, when I made that decision, originally it was pre-law and I wanted to go into public service. I wanted to run for office at one point, but started a legal services company senior year in college. Loved the business, didn't like the practice of law. It was interesting because getting a chance to go back to school, had an opportunity to kind of learn a whole new skill set from a different perspective. And that was really powerful. I will tell you, anybody that's an engineer or anybody that's a lawyer, accounting is really, really hard. So I ended up getting my master's at UTA in business. And my final paper for UTA was a strategy class. And the teacher's main point of the class was do one thing and do really great, like Lee Iacocca type of perspective. And my thesis, my last paper was, that's really great if you're first. You have a new technology and you can go in that market first. But for the rest of us that don't have that first mover advantage, either we're going to be with one small company for the rest of our careers, or we're going to have to figure out ways to pivot and grow beyond that. So the multi-brand you just asked about is a result of that senior paper. And by the way, I got a bad grade on that paper. So,
Wow. Yeah,
it was like my worst grade, I think, for the whole time I was in graduate school. So, yeah, so a little disappointing. So I built the company on a multi-brand thing. But what you have to do is treat the marketing that as like you're an agency and each brand is a separate customer.
Okay.
And the way you stay flexible and competitive is that you're constantly surveying that market environment, see what the competitor is doing, new technologies, changes in the marketplace, and you got to be close to that market. You got to own that sales relationship, and you get that feedback, and you take that and you bring it back to figure out if it's positioned correctly, is it priced correctly, is the product going to be better, do we need to go to a different product category? And then if there's a new opportunity, guess what? You now have all the systems in place to take a new brand into the marketplace. So, you know, if you have a new idea, the idea behind Cellmark, the big idea in Cellmark right now, is that, yes, we have multiple brands. We juggle it, and each one has to be focused on. But we're trying to create a global platform so the next big thing, we can bring it to the market. Because without the other brands, we'd never get to that point. And we have very successful brands. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun. But I'm hoping that someday we bring a really – I mean, we're going to change – we're changing the market now with the brands that we have in our industry. But I'd like to someday bring a product that becomes a household name that is synonymous with a great quality product and innovation that makes people's lives better. So that's kind of what we're building Cellmark to do.
That's incredible. I love that. And with the brands that you have right now and staying competitive in your industry, the shooting and hunting industries have undergone significant changes in recent years. And how have you all adapted to those changes?
Yeah, it's bleak in the shooting sports. Every time you pick up the news, there's bad news. And that's what people hear. Our demographics are challenging because the people that grew up hunting and as a part of a tradition, they're not passing that tradition on. So there's more and more people that don't know the wonderful experience that you can have shooting sports with your friends, your kids. Hunting is a great tradition. We're hunters. That's who we are. And whether you hunt in the grocery store when you pick your meat out of the fridge and put it in your cart, or if you go out in the woods or you're on a farm, we're all hunters. But there's something truly remarkable about that journey of being with somebody when they are applying their skill and their technique to provide food for themselves. I think it's a great tradition. It's a great experience. I think it'd be great if everyone experienced that once in their life. But it is difficult because now we have urbanized. We have people in cities. They don't understand. You could be 60 miles outside the city and they have no clue what it's like to get out of the city. They don't know what it's like to do things that, we probably, I don't know if you got a chance to go hunting and shooting, but, we grew up doing these things.
Yeah.
You hunter shoot at
all? Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, it's so important. It's such a positive thing. But if you just watch the news and the political rhetoric, they think it's a terrible thing. And my experience being in the industry, I really have found the people that are hunters and shooters are some of the nicest, most down-to-earth, respectful, law-abiding people. If you ever needed something, they'd be the first one to help you.
I agree.
They're just great people. So I think, though, that we are going to have some trouble in the shooting and hunting sports. I think anybody that cares about it, cares about our values and culture as a society, we should stand up and protect, even if you don't do those things, you should protect people to be able to enjoy them safely. And I understand, concerns with that. So I think we do need to diversify as a company and look for opportunities in the broader markets. You know, our common theme is we want to provide people with the chance to explore and have experiences and do amazing things outdoors. So there's so many different ways to enjoy the outdoors, and I think we just scratched the surface of things that we could do.
That's great. One of the key things that you mentioned is safety, and I agree. I think that education and safety are so important, and once we figure out more ways to educate people about safety, that maybe there wouldn't be so much resistance there. I know that we grew up, like our dad taught us how to shoot when we were like 8, 9, 10 years old. And so we always understood like the safety of it. We were never fascinated about guns in a negative way. It was always a sport, Yep. It was always very positive. And as you said, just all of the people who ever worked with us were always so kind and so quick to educate you and help you. And it was just always a really positive experience. So I completely agree that it would be really nice to be able to carry on more of those traditions because it is a great tradition and good family time. It was some of the coolest times we had with our dad.
I had an opportunity to be with the scouts, and they used to do summer camps, and we shoot BB in archery. And I remember, I was new to teaching, instructing, and I had to go through courses and stuff on it. But it was interesting the first time out there watching other people shoot because I grew up doing it. And I think my grandfather taught me how to shoot when I was 4.
Okay.
So I was very young.
Very young.
But it was interesting because I was, watching these scouts come through, and these are young boys, and you have a couple of kids really eager and excited, get out there and shoot. And then when they hit the target, their chest is poked out and they're feeling confident. But it just reminded me of there's just a couple kids that were there that didn't want to do it. And I found out later that they were, they had a single mother that raised them and they didn't have a father or somebody in the household to show them how to shoot. And they were really kind of afraid. So going through this, talking about the safety and showing them the safe operation And whether it's an arrow or it doesn't really matter what it was, mm-hmm. it was, you know, whether a bow or a rifle or the BB gun. But when those kids for the first time hit the target, the sense of accomplishment and confidence, and I don't know where else you get that to say, I trust you enough and I value you enough. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to show you how to do this thing that could be dangerous because it could be used for hunting or it could be used for self-defense or it could be used for just for sport. But I trust you enough with this thing that's potentially dangerous because I value you. And guess what? If you apply yourself and you work hard at something, you can accomplish it and be successful. And I think we need those opportunities for young people. And I think that it really comes down to what we need to do is provide those moments of confidence. Maybe not that I doubt there'll be Olympic shooters that go through that. Maybe some would. But that confidence goes into their whole life, how they treat their family, what they do when they're in school, what they do in their professional lives. And I think that's really important. So I think it's pretty profound, actually, what we do and how it helps people.
I agree. I think any opportunity to overcome something that seems maybe scary or something that seems that it should be feared and have an opportunity for someone to trust you to teach you how to do it and then an opportunity to get on the other side of that fear is always character building and it's always giving us confidence for whatever that next challenge is. I've had so many opportunities in my life where if I felt like I was not as confident as I needed to be or a little fearful, it was something that happened in the past that reminded me that I could do this. Something that reminded me that you can do hard things or you can trust yourself. And that is just another one of those opportunities where once you have that, not only is it good for that moment or for the sport or for learning a new skill, but you get to take that with you for the next challenge that you have and the next time that you need an extra boost of confidence or a time where you need to be reminded that you can trust yourself. Or even an opportunity once we get our age where we can help others who are teenagers who now they need us to give them that confidence. And we need to play the role that someone played in our life once before and we show them that we trust them and
That's
give
awesome.
Them that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I also know that CELMARC has a strong commitment with supporting military and law enforcement communities, and I think that's incredible. And I would love it if you could talk a little bit about some of the ways in which your company does this.
Sure. You know, so much respect for the young men and women that have defended our country and been there, you know, in time of crisis and stuff, and we have great people serving us now. So anything we can do to give back to them is great. And selfishly, though, I'll say that I've been blown away by the talent and capabilities of a lot of, you know, law enforcement and military personnel that have left the service and have joined our company. Some of our best leadership and just great people have come from that. So I owe a debt of gratitude just for this, the people that come into our company. But, you know, we'd like to give back and try to protect those that protect us would be great. I never was able to serve. For another reason, I couldn't, but, you know, I wish I could have. And if I could change one thing about my past, I think 4 years of service to this country would have been a great thing to do. And I think we owe them so much debt. I just can't thank them enough for what they do for us. And if they want to join our company, that'd be great. If they want to use our products, that's great. I think we're lucky to have such a great military tradition where the military serves the people. And it's a It can, you know, the head of the military is a civilian, the president of the United States. We're unique that way. Most countries, if the military is in control, the people aren't. So it's nice to have our tradition, and I think it's very fundamental to our American experience.
I think that's another great full circle moment for you, maybe, because while you say, you know, that may be one thing you have changed with being in the military, but you are in a role of service, you know, to the military in many ways. And so I think that's awesome, you know, especially once someone's in the military and then they become a civilian and you have an opportunity for them there at CELMARC. I just think it's a great full circle moment for you to still be in service in a very unique and special way.
Well, thank you. I hope so.
So it sounds like just based on our conversation here and just meeting you before that relationships and networking is really important to you. If you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about the role you believe networking plays in business success in general and how it is important for business owners to build those strong professional relationships.
Relationships are business at the end of the day. business, and again, you look at all the different options, you really have two. You have the type of interaction with people where it's two people freely deciding they want to do something together. It's a relationship. It's a give and take. The rest of it is where it's one side dictates the terms, the other one has to accept it or die, right? So that's anytime you're involved with the government. And unfortunately, they have the power. You don't get to say what laws you want to follow and what terms and conditions you want. But in private business, we have a chance to do things together, to find ways to help each other. And that's really, it comes down to trust, honesty, and that relationship is everything in business. Without it, business isn't possible. So I would tell anybody that's listening, again, I think curiosity leads that relationship. I think you, if you have a natural interest in people and care about them, you'll want to find out about them, how they think and why they think and what they know. You know, I think that in school, not only do you have all these different subjects and faculty that are, you know, experts in their field, but the students sitting next to you. I mean, there's students now in the universities, like, I just walk into the class. I guarantee you there's probably 100 different countries of students that their parents are from or they're from in this school. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to leave the state or the city or the campus, for that matter, to go talk to somebody and say, what is it like growing up with in this environment? And what did you experience? And what's your worldview? And what were your values? And what did you think, you know, are the keys to success? And those relationships with those people end up connecting beyond all over the world. And those connections will create opportunities for you. And again, our business in the early days and to this day is really international. There's been people from, you know, people I knew in the United States that came from somewhere else with different perspectives, but people from other countries. Without their help, our company wouldn't be where it is. So I would encourage everybody to get to know the people sitting next to you. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to leave town. You could be standing in line at the grocery store. Be curious. And somebody asking you questions, that's what it's about. That's the relationship. Be open. You know, maybe they ask a question in a weird way. You know, it's okay. We're learning. Just give them, just be open, ask questions back.
Yeah.
And if somebody says something silly, laugh about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if you trust and, again, are honest, it's natural. And you have that curiosity that really drives that.
I think so, too. I think, and if they do ask a question in a weird way or someone says something different than what you're used to, I think that's part of the richness in relationships, too, right? Like, we're learning different nuances, different characteristics, different personalities, different cultures. And so I think it just enhances the richness of the relationships because you are able to communicate with different people from different places and be able to have good, meaningful conversations and relationships without bias or defensiveness, but just being open to build relationships.
100%. I think the world would be so boring if everybody thought like us, right? And looked like us and came from the same background. I mean,
it
sounds awful.
It would not take long to get bored. Yeah.
It's like watching a bad sitcom, the same episode the rest of your life. Who wants to be in that? Sounds awful.
Sounds awful. No, thank you. Yeah. And speaking of richness in relationships, I really admire how well you do treat your people at Cellmark and the relationship that you have there. Can you tell us a little bit about just the employee benefits? And I say benefits, you do know what I'm picturing the workout center that's there, but just the different things that you have at Cellmark that are dedicated to your people.
Sure. You know, again, one of the things that I set out to do, and I feel like I haven't hit the mark yet, but I really wanted to create the best place for people to work. And it's not easy. It's hard. I want to unleash the potential in the people. And I think that there's, like, so much talent that's just untapped. And there's so many strengths undeveloped, and people don't know what they can do. And I feel like, you know, one of my lifelong missions was try to figure out a way to unleash that. We've done a great job. I have great people. They work really hard. They create amazing things. But I still think we're just tapping into that. I think we're just getting started. But, you know, part of that, I think, you know, talking about relationships and other things, there's a few things you have to have. Everybody needs to have good relationships in your life. And I think you also need to have health and wellness. I think it's very, very fundamental. You know, in those type of opportunities, you spend so much time at work, it'd be nice if some of those things can happen there. So we do a lot of things and try to do, you know, fun activities, provide opportunities for people to experience, do things that maybe they wouldn't have done otherwise. And then in our expansion that you're referencing, you know, we wanted a place where people could come together. They could have a recreational moment playing ping pong or pool or shuffleboard, or if it's a sport, like we have a sport court. If they do that, they're accomplishing a chance to kind of de-stress and have fun and get to know other people in a very natural, easy way. So I think that's really good. And then we also provided, you know, areas and opportunities for them to work out and to get healthy. And we're trying to do more healthy things in the workplace. You know, it's the least that we can do, right, is trying to do that for the people that work hard and take care of our customers. I still think there's more to do, and I think there's a lot of potential that we can unleash. And the more that they accomplish, the more that we can do, too, as a company. So when we're successful, we can do more things for them as well.
That's great. And would you think it's a fair comment to say that when they have those opportunities, that it increases productivity as well? So
yes, it can.
Yeah, it can, because yeah. If you're more rested, you're exercising more, you're healthier, so more likely to produce more or think of better ideas.
Our products are so cool, though, that you could go out and you could literally, you know, explore the products and the whole day will be gone before you know it. So it is fun. We have a great industry, and doing things in the outdoors is a lot of fun. We get a chance to be creative and compete. It's really fun that a group of us have all come together in North Texas, and we're taking on the biggest companies all around the world. We've taken on the big leaders of our industry from New York and the big metros and stuff, and we win more than we lose. So
that's great.
It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. What would your advice be to business owners who are struggling a little bit with what a lot of people call work-life balance?
Well, I think the entrepreneurs are going to have to decide if they want to be entrepreneurs and accept that there isn't going to be this division. I don't think it's possible. I think they have to get comfortable blending that into their life. But if you do work the right way and do something you love, it'll make your life richer and provide opportunities to your family that you wouldn't have otherwise. I've had great opportunities to introduce my children to learning experiences and even got a chance to travel with them and meet some of our partners and things that they wanted to have. So I think if you're obsessing about trying to create walls between you and your work as an entrepreneur, I think you're setting yourself up for failure. I think it's not a good use of your mental energy because I don't think you can succeed at that. But I would say that, you know, your time is very, very valuable. Put your time into what matters the most. And if you don't take care of yourself and take care of your family, then there's no point to have business. So I think it's about really integrating it in a way that's healthy. And then, you know, we all have parts of the job that we don't love or parts of the job that stress us out or whatever. And maybe there's times you just have to roll up your sleeves and work 20 hours a week or 20 hours a week. Yeah, that's really tough.
Roll those sleeves
20 hours a day for a week. And, you know, you just have to, there's times you have to do that. But you can't do that at the expense of the rest of your life. So I know what people mean by that, but a lot of people take it too far where they don't answer phone calls and they're like at odds with work. And I think that creates a conflict that you'll lose, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But
no, I think that's so good. You gave us such a good benchmark as well when you said building walls between work and the rest of your life instead of integrating the two and finding pieces like you were just describing, how you have fun at work. And so that sometimes that's part of the balance. Part of the balance could be knowing that, I have to work 100 hours this week, but 50 of those might be fun. You know,
hey, there might be a day where you work 10 hours and you get to go sailing on a yacht and or you get to go take a hunt in New Zealand or something. You know, you balance that stuff out.
Yeah, for sure.
And the relationships are key. So, you know, you have an opportunity to use your work to build relationships and meet other families from other cultures and make that part of your life, too. So there's a lot of benefits to doing the work and having the freedom to choose how you spend your time, which ultimately is the greatest thing, I think, about being an entrepreneur. It's your choice. If you spend your time wisely, the market's not going to respond very well to that, and you'll have to accept that.
That's great.
So,
what would you say to students who would be interested in working with Cellmark? What advice would you give them? What different talents or skill sets are you looking for students who want to join your team?
Sure. There's really three keys to want to work for Cellmark. First is, you know, being an honest person, being, you know, have good ethics. We do not tolerate, there's things we don't tolerate. We don't tolerate dishonesty. We don't tolerate trying to make money at the expense of somebody else. We think, you know, breaking laws, all that stuff. But, you know, we need to work together to accomplish something wonderful. We're taking care of a customer. We need to make that our focus. So ethics are key. Second thing would be hard work. You're going to come to work hard, get a job done, because at the end of the day, that's how we provide service to others. And the third thing is be willing to train, which kind of comes back to being curious. If you're curious, you're most likely going to stick with it long enough to learn something. But if you can be open to learning and learn new skills, you can do anything for us. So those three things, ethics, hard work, and continuous learning or being able to learn, that makes you a potential to, you know, be a very valued and very successful at Cellmark.
That's great. I know a lot of students look for opportunities for internships. And what would you say would be the most value in being an intern for a company for a student?
I think working early in multiple different types of experiences is great. And I think students, it's a perfect opportunity to test the waters. I would recommend somebody go work in a field before they get their major finished or you end up with a political science history degree. But I think it's really – it's a great chance to go – like if Cellmark specifically, you get a chance to see a team and how they work. We actually provide opportunities to learn and do things that are very important. Typically, we assign projects that are very intensive, a week or two at a time, and then senior management see the results of that. We think that it's important that the students come away with a good perspective and get a chance to contribute, and the work that they do is important. We've always paid our interns because we feel like that's the right thing to do. And I wouldn't want them to be there if they weren't creating value. So I think that, you know, we want to have students have such a great experience that when they graduate, they want to come back and work for us.
That's excellent. Thank you. Yeah. This conversation has been so rich, just great information and advice for other business owners, for our students, and just nice life pieces too. Very valuable, a lot of good gems. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us? And you did at the beginning of the conversation tell us a little bit about your plans and what you see in the future. But if you want to just end on letting us know what we can expect to see from Cellmark in the next few years.
All right. Well, Cellmark's not going to – our goal is to continue to evolve and innovate. I have a great leadership team and people joining the company, and I want to empower them and support them to do great things. And I'm not as young as I used to be, so I'd like to see the company continue to evolve and grow beyond what my limitations were, and I think it is now. I will tell everybody that's listened to this at this point, be curious, find your strengths, develop those, apply them to the world, bring something to the table that's new and different, take a chance, give back. If there's something you really want, don't quit. Just keep going for it. If you try hard enough and you're willing to learn, and it will come to you. It's never too early to work hard or try, and it's never too late either. So decide how you want to live your life and live that life. You know, go for it. You only live once. Make it great.
That is an incredible note to end on. Thank you so much, James.
It's such a
Thank
pleasure.
You, James Sellers, for being here today, for being our guest. It has definitely been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us for the 22nd edition of the Workforce Lens.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.